You can have a seat. So here we are. It's Easter Sunday. Yeah. And we had a big question come from the Jones family. Is it Jesus has risen or Jesus is risen? I talk amongst yourselves. Jesus be risen, no cap. We know that Jesus is risen, and that's the reason for today. Well, I want to welcome you here. My name is Scott, and I have the privilege of leading a team of awesome people here who are so invested in getting things done and being like hands and feet of Jesus, putting faith in action. We don't like to just sit on our butts once a week and be like, woo, did the church thing. That was so cool. So we do a lot of stuff, and I'm so excited to have everybody that's helping. But this Easter Sunday for pastors is Super Bowl Sunday. This is the big show. This is the deal. This is it. You know there are going to be people here who normally aren't here. There are going to be people checking it out for the first time. And every year I get nervous and I'm like, oh. But I never have to figure out what to preach on. Like, imagine coming on Easter Sunday and be like, this morning we're talking about Noah's Ark. And everybody be like, no, it's Easter. You tell the story. And be like, okay, gotta tell the story. But it's Super Bowl Sunday. And so churches bring it. I mean, they got to, some of you guys are like, Scott, what is the deal? Look at you. I know. You're like a black shirt, you know, gray. What is the deal? This cannot be. It's Easter Sunday. It's a time for bright colors and bunnies and all of that. So I knew I had to bring it out again. Yeah, you know, it's Easter. It's time for all the bright things. And oh, I'm caught in my wire. This might be harder than I thought. All right, I got wires hanging from my back. And okay, there. All right. So now I'm all Eastered up. I'm Eastered up, bright colors. I had a pigeon shirt that one of you sent me, but it's not very colorful. And I'm pretty sure it's Heidi, and she's listening at home. And so, Heidi, I think it's you. I'm pretty sure it's not Angel that sent me the pigeon shirt, but she's sad that she didn't. But anyway, here we are, and churches bring it, right? They're like, you hear, there's one church that I read about, that one of these big mega churches. They've got swag bags. For everybody who comes, we have a swag bag. Swag bag, and it's worth $300. Come to our church and get a swag bag worth $300 of all these coupons and stuff from local businesses. Come do that. I'm like, whoa, wow. How about the church? It was about 10 years ago. They were on the news. They did the ultimate giveaway for Sunday. They gave away 15 cars. They gave away flat screen TVs. They gave, I mean, it was like this giant game show. It was like, and they spent $2 million on the production. We're here going, if we had $2 million, we'd be spending it to like build a place for people to live or you know, feed people or do whatever. But they're a big deal. Gift baskets, free family photos. You know, you can get your free family photos. Come. There was a church in Tulsa last year. They put on a 2-hour performance, like a Broadway show, including songs from Beyonce and all the ice and, you know, the dry ice and the smoke and the light shows. It was called Ransom. And man, they were partying, and it was like an awesome show. I'm like, wow, Wow, cha-ching. How about in Maine, we have places that hire helicopters and drop Easter eggs, right? I always wonder if there are little kids out there getting pegged. You know, like, run, Johnny, run. So this morning, the roof is going to open, and we've got a helicopter. Oh, no, that's not going to work. And then the engineers who know things, they're like, I couldn't take a zip line from up there and come in. Like, woo, boom, here I am. Nah, like, man, we don't spend a lot of money on production of saying we're going to have a big show. It's just not us. But before you get too bummed out, I do have something for you. A restaurant called me and said, hey, how'd you like some Easter eggs? I said, sure, I guess. I'll take some Easter eggs. I'm picturing Easter eggs that have maybe some candy in them and stuff. But they all came, and of course it's a promotional thing, and they had a little tiny piece of paper in them that's a coupon. And it's a coupon for their restaurant, which I'm like, oh, awesome, that's cool, but I'd really like some candy. So we spared no expense. Robin and I yesterday were filling these with Jelly Bellies. Not talking the cheap stuff, right? Jelly Bellies. Yeah, that church can give away $2 million and 15 cars and stuff. But I brought Easter eggs for all of you guys to have one. And I want you to open it up and enjoy the treat. You're thinking, why didn't you give that to the kids? Well, I didn't want to get them all sugared up. And I wanted to get you sugared up, eating them while I'm speaking, so that you don't fall asleep. So you can just pass these around. Make sure everybody takes an egg. Jack, you want to take care of just making sure everybody gets an egg. Feel free to open it up. Compare if you're more blessed than your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor got, you know, 4 jelly beans and you got 9, because we didn't really count. But I do have a place that I'm going to go with this and talking about all of these eggs as you go around. And I'll see you all chewing and being like, ooh, this is a good one. That's my favorite thing to do with Jelly Bellies, right? What's the deal with those popcorn ones? Oh, those are nasty. The popcorn ones. Every now and then you're like, oh, no, I got one of those. No, that's not okay. So I'll be able to tell which ones of you just popped in a popcorn. It'll be like, ugh, okay? As those are going around, these Easter eggs, woohoo, right? They're always a part of Easter. Always a part of Easter. Bunnies, ducks. I don't really get the duck thing. But ducks are part of Easter. Bunnies, because of the life thing and new life. And so these little plastic eggs come out, and all the kids are like excited to do Easter egg hunts. You can even do an Easter egg hunt at a local farm that has animals to pet. You pay money and you go in and you'll be like, ooh, Easter egg and goat. That's cool. And so all of these things with your Easter eggs. Now, I want to make a point, and it's the first point of my message this morning with you guys. As you're opening these eggs, you look, you open the egg, and you see inside there is a delicious treat, right? How many of you were in families that had money in the eggs? Ever hide money in the eggs? I didn't think so based on the size of our budget. You know, none of us were like, oh, look, $100 bill, what'd you get? I got a $1,000 bill. I don't even know if that exists. Probably doesn't, right? No. So anyway, you look and you got inside the egg. Oh, nice, we've got leftover ones. And so they go to my house. So you open the egg, and you say, ooh, look at this. I got the little coupon thing I told you about. But then I got these. What came out of that? And then there's this thing that's left that most of us go, what do you do with that thing? You know, like they're all over the place. You're like, we got all these plastic eggs. I did this just as an experiment this week. We have a little girl in our neighborhood. I put an egg out on the lawn with a treat in it. And she's 3 years old, and she's toddling around. She finds it. She gets the treat out of it, and then she does that. She just tosses it to the side. Now, she comes back every day. Comes back every day. That Easter egg has laid there on the lawn in its broken, sad state. It's my act of a broken Easter egg. Okay? This is, it's worthless. Now, my point, as we're talking about this morning, my point, the value of these things comes from what's inside and taking it out. And then it's empty. It's of no value anymore. It's of no value anymore. Now, here's something that I hear from people ask me every year. Why can't they be sure where Jesus' grave is? Well, here's the thing, guys. Like an empty egg that contained the treasure, and then the treasure rose, came out, there was no value left in that grave. There was no reason for anybody to track it or know where it was. We mark the graves of people who stay there. That's what we do. We make a headstone, right? I saw a typo on a headstone. It was a grave mistake. Thanks, Josh. You have a headstone that marks, it says, here lies. You never go and find one that says, here lies absolutely no one. This is an empty hole. So nobody kept track of where the grave was, because the value was in what came out. The value in the tomb of Jesus came out. Once he came out, the grave didn't matter anymore. Do you know that today there are probably 6 to 7 places where people claim that was the grave of Jesus? In 2019, Robin and I had the thrill of touring Israel. And this picture here, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, it was built in 325 originally. It's had earthquakes and stuff and been rebuilt. But they have this thing there in the middle that is what they say the tomb of Jesus. Now, when we were there, the tour guide said, now it's up to you guys if you would like to go and see inside the tomb and wait in line. The line is about 2 hours. I will wait 2 hours in line for the Pandora ride. I will wait 2 hours in line for maybe even Small World. It's a world of world. I will wait in those lines. But I said, why? It's empty, right? It's just empty. But around in that area of the country, of the world, there are 6 to 7 different places that claim to be the grave, the tomb of Jesus. Here's Robin and I standing across the street in the Protestant version. This is a grave that was in the garden. And they said, this is where we believe Jesus was laid. And here's a picture. It's empty. It is just a big old empty thing. I looked and I was like, well, okay, cool that that might be it. And cool that that might be it. And cool that these other ones might be it. But people have been searching for the grave for years. As a matter of fact, you might have seen the Discovery Channel special. Did you see it? It was called The Lost Tomb of Jesus. And it was in 2007 that it came out. And they said they found the family tomb of Jesus Christ. And they found inscriptions on it that said Mary and Joseph and James. And so that they were like, this, we believe, was it. Well, the problem was, it was a fascinating show, and it came out at about Easter time, because it's time for those shows to come out. And it came out at about Easter time, and people watched it, and it was fascinating, but then the problem was Ted Koppel and others investigated, tried everything that they found, and it was totally discredited. It was in the wrong place, built at the wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time, and it was the grave of a rich family. Now, what do we know about Jesus' family? They were common people, tradesmen, right? We know that. So here's the thing. We continue to say it over and over again. Take a picture, share it, do whatever you have to do. The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things in Scripture. If God had wanted us to know specifically where the empty tomb was, He would have given us directions. It would have been included. It's not important because it's empty. It's an empty tomb. So the second point that I want to get to today is we're here today because of an event that went viral. I mean, this reel, baby, it got picked up and played millions of times. In fact, 2.6 billion times. This thing broke the internet. Well, there was no internet. But somehow, it went wild. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here, Paul is writing this passage. I passed on to you what was most important, the main thing and the plain thing, right? I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Summarized again, Christ died for our sins just like the Scriptures said. He was buried and He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures said. Now, some of you are like doubters. They're like, wait a minute, Friday to Sunday isn't 3 days. And even there it's wrong. Well, understand, you need to go back and understand Hebrew days and how they started and ended. And then it becomes part of 3 days. And on the third day, He rose. Let's keep going. On the third day, just as Scripture said. And then He gives us a list that's not a complete list. There are no women included on this. And we know that Mary Magdalene was the first to come and see Jesus, was the first to go and tell that she'd seen Jesus. We know that Mary Magdalene, because we looked at it 3 weeks ago, we know that she was like the first evangelist. She was a person who was of significant importance in the story. She helped finance the ministry of Christ. She traveled with them. And I told you that I believed if this was written today, that Mary Magdalene would have been included as one of the disciples. But back then in that society, presentism makes us want to apply our values and morals and everything that we have today, our standards, back 2,000 years ago to a different period, and say, that's so unfair, that's not right, and I don't accept that. But it's the way things were. So Mary Magdalene, the women are not mentioned here. He, Jesus, the risen Jesus, was seen by Peter, and we know Peter went with John, right? Okay? He was seen with Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all of the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Jesus appeared to Paul. Appeared to Paul. And then he says this, "For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church." Here's the thing about Paul. Paul was raised in a very rigid Jewish home. He was a Jew of Jews, but he was also a Roman citizen. He was very well educated. He was a person who spent a good part of his life trying to stop Christianity from spreading. So much so that he persecuted Christians, that Christians were killed for believing, when all they had to do was deny that they saw it. And so it went viral. But how does something go viral without radio and broadcast and TV and internet? In that society, it was word of mouth. So you have more than 500 people who have witnessed the risen Christ, and they immediately do what? They start telling everybody, just like you tell people when something extraordinary happens. And watch, you look outside and it's a gorgeous sunset, and then you go on Facebook and everybody posts, "Did you see the gorgeous sunset?" And they post pictures of it. And you're like, yes. It was same over here, same over there too. But everybody posts something remarkable that happens. Everybody tells. You won't believe what I'm about to tell you. Remember Jesus? Remember how he was crucified? Remember how he was tortured? Some of you might think that Jesus was the only one tortured with those other two, and that was a rare occasion. The Romans executed thousands of people on crosses. Crucifixion comes from the word cross, cruce, and the fixed part is to fix to a cross. It was a commonplace occurrence. There were always people being crucified. Did you know that? It was the way that they tortured and killed criminals in a public and humiliating way, the worst possible thing, and they would beat them so that they weren't breathing barely. And then they would hang on the cross, and you know what they would do with their bodies after? They wouldn't take them down off the cross. They would leave them on the cross and let the scavengers, birds, and get them. There was no dignity in this at all. And sometimes we as Christians think, Jesus on a cross. He was one of the three that died on that cross. He was one of thousands. So the event itself was totally unremarkable to them. It happened all the time. It wasn't extraordinary. But something was extraordinary. The fact that these people said they saw the empty tomb, and that they saw not only the empty tomb, they saw Jesus. And then when they saw Jesus, Thomas said, "I'm not buying it. No way. This doesn't happen. People don't rise from the dead. Shut up. Get out of my face. Get out of here. I won't believe it unless I put my fingers in the holes and my hand in his side. And then scripture we saw last week, the week before, we saw that when Jesus came to Thomas and appeared to Thomas, he said, "Here, Thomas, you're doubting. Here, feel that. Thomas, put your hand here." He didn't say, "Thomas, you lousy loser, how could you doubt me? You are a crumb bum." I don't even know if that's a word, but it is now. "You are terrible." He didn't deride Thomas or anything. He met him in his doubt and said, "Here, feel, touch, see." And we learned 2 weeks ago that in our faith, Jesus meets us where we are. So how did it go viral? People couldn't stop telling about the resurrection and how it changed them. They couldn't stop telling. You know what flew in the face of this? The most powerful empire in the world put many of its resources toward stomping this Christianity stuff out. Remember the story? Nero, how he lit up his courtyard? That's Roman history. He lit up his courtyard, not with tiki torches, but with burning Christians who wouldn't deny Christ. Why didn't they deny him? Why didn't they just say, "I never saw it. It didn't happen"? We see they put Christians in with the lions and said, "Let's watch this." And still, we have 2.6 billion people who believe in Christ today. 2.6 billion people. It was about in the 4th century when Constantine, the emperor, said, "Well, can't beat them, join them." When Constantine made Christianity the religion of Rome. And then, yeah, it gets ugly from there because they started using Christianity to advance their own power and do their own thing politically and their own thing, whatever they wanted to do, and the conquests and all of the ugly things. So that second point is that the resurrection went viral because of eyewitnesses that spread it like wildfire. And then people came to Christ. They said, "We believe. We will follow his teachings. We want more from this man. We want to learn more, and we'll follow him, and we'll be baptized because he said to do that." And it went all across the world. So, third thing. Remember those disciples hiding in a locked room? Remember Peter? We heard last week, "Peter, you will deny Jesus." Jesus said, "You will deny me 3 times. "No, I would. No, I would rather die with you. That won't happen. Cut it out. That's not going to be a thing." "Yeah, before you deny me that third time, the rooster's going to crow." And then we see the story, Peter talking to a servant girl. Now remember, at that time, women and girls were property. It was a horrific thing. I can't comprehend it, and I do not like it. But I know that at that time in history, there was no sway there. And the servant girl says to him, You knew him. You were with him." "No, I told you I never knew him. This is a kid. What the heck, Peter?" And it happened again. And then a third time. And the rooster crowed. We knew that, right? We knew the disciples were hiding in a locked room scared. Scared to go out because they were afraid Rome was going to do the same thing to them once they found that the body was gone. So here, Jesus rose, the tomb is empty, and that's what makes this whole story valuable. We know it went viral because of witnesses. And now we know it transformed people. Those scared disciples who scattered, who hid in locked room, or it's where Jesus appeared to them in their desperation and darkness, all of their dreams crushed. Scripture told us he just showed up in the locked room next to them, met them where they were, and said, "Peace, I'm going to send you now." So this passage here in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter, the same guy who was scared of the servant girl, say, "So let everyone," he's standing up in front of a big crowd, "so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, for who you crucified, this Jesus whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Remember why Jesus was crucified? Because he claimed to be king, claimed to be Messiah. And here's Peter, wimpy Peter, who's scared to death of a servant girl, locked in a room, and he's addressing the crowd, and he said, "God made this Jesus who you guys crucified." I look and I go, "You kidding me? What happened, Pete? Where did you suddenly get this? How come you went from scared little wimpy guy, scared of the servant girl, to now you're addressing the crowd?" Because the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised, would then be with us constantly, giving us strength, giving us the words to say, being with us, being the counselor. Because the Holy Spirit was there, that transformation of the resurrection happened. Boom! And Peter and all the disciples who had scattered then went on to proclaim Christ. Do you know that all except for John were martyred for their faith? That means they were killed for not denying Christ. They were all killed. Wow. I wonder about my own faith, guys. Honestly, sometimes, how would I react in an oppressive regime if they sat and had a gun to my head and said, "Just deny that it's real. That's all you have to do. Just deny that it's real, and I'll let you go." I pray that I would not deny. But not being in that moment, I don't know. But I do know something in these people caused a viral sweeping, and they all were willing to die for it because they knew that the truth was the truth. They knew it. It transformed people. It transformed Mary Magdalene. Remember? She had 7 demons and Jesus healed her. And then she started following Jesus and was one of his disciples in that group. She spent her money. She became instrumental in the gospel spreading. It transformed Thomas in his doubt. It transformed Peter's roller coaster into being a bold witness. It transformed Paul, one of the most highly educated and a Jew of Jews. It transformed him and took him from the place of saying all Christians must die to being the one who said, "Let me tell you about Jesus." And he brought many to Christ. There's something there, guys. There's something there. And it's still there. And as our music team comes, because Jesus rose from the dead and gave us the counselor, our strength, our constant strength, our being with us, lives are transformed. My life was transformed at 17. It had been perfect? No way. No way. Many of us here today have been transformed. Some of us are in recovery. Some of us watching online are in recovery. We've been battling drugs, and we've been battling alcohol, and there we are, transformed and celebrating a one-year chip, a three-year chip. Roland, how many years? 24?
25.
25 years. And we can say we're transformed because of the resurrection of Christ, who walks with us now. He's up from the grave, he arose. We can say we've seen marriages transformed. We've seen financial ruin transformed. We've seen disappointments and depression and people who are homeless. We've seen them transformed. No, we haven't all got everything we want, but we got the hope in Jesus, and became Easter people. John 16:33. In this world, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have it. You're never going to hear that from the TV preachers. This is Jesus promising you life's going to be hard. You're going to have trouble. But then he said, but take heart, which means have hope, be brave, be strong, take courage. I have overcome the world. And then you know what he told us? He tells us that you, when you follow Christ, when you make him Lord, that you too are an overcomer. 1 John 5:4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. It's the resurrection of Jesus. It changed everything. Up from the grave, he arose. Let's stand together and sing. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's an old tradition where we say he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I hope you guys, when you see one of those worthless plastic eggs, that maybe it reminds you that what was inside the tomb rose. It came out. And that tomb's worthless now. That egg's worthless now. The deliciousness that changes our lives rose from that tomb. And I hope that as we go out, that we'll be witnesses, that we can say, this is what Jesus has done in my life. I don't have all the answers, but let me tell you what's happening. I hope we're able to do that and have some boldness. And if I could ask maybe Jake Groom and David Holmes to move the cross out front so we can put more flowers on it and leave it as a display this week for people to see, here's the cross. It was old and ugly, but today it's a symbol of new life. Take your family pictures in front of it, post them. Hashtag Easter people. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, there's nothing we've done to deserve your grace. Thank you that Jesus came and paid the price for us, and that he rose. And that has changed everything. Send us out now, ready to have a great day with friends, family, or even alone reflecting on what you have accomplished. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have a great week, guys.